Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. In the August 2019 edition of Ensign Magazine, there was an article that began on page 47. It was written by Elder Terrence M. Vinson of the Presidency of the 70, and it was titled The Essential Role of Revelation. The subtitle was Revelation is an Essential Factor in Knowing the Things of God. They cannot be learned solely by study and reason. If you've ever talked to a Latter-day Saint, I'm sure the word revelation has probably come up in the course of the conversation. And many Latter-day Saints, though they may not say it to you verbally, would probably have this attitude that what you know is merely based on man's wisdom, but what they know and believe to be true is something that God Himself has revealed to them.
Through revelation, that's the big key word you'll hear from Latter-day Saints. And so, is it true that Latter-day Saints have a kind of revelation that no other Christian has?
Well, you know, I remember having a conversation with a young Mormon missionary. I was on a flight going to Moscow, Russia. And I had some speaking engagements over there in Moscow and in St. Petersburg, and he was part of a group of missionaries that were there in the plane. There happened to be an empty seat across the aisle from where these missionaries were seated, and I'll be quite honest, and I've told this story, that I didn't even think that was a time where I even needed to pray about what God wanted me to do. I mean, here's an empty seat right across the aisle. So I went up from where my seat was, and I sat down, and I leaned across the aisle, and I engaged in a conversation with this young man. And I'll never forget, he kept bringing up a lot of issues, and I kept responding by showing him that a lot of what he was saying just was not logical. It was not logical. And his response was very similar to what I've just explained here. He looked at me as, well, you're using man's wisdom or man's reasoning. My response to that is, well, where did logic come from? I don't think man made it up. I don't think man was able to invent logic. Logic is just one of those things that we happen to believe that because this universe is uniform, that it would make sense. And obviously, the genesis of logic would be God Himself. But you notice what He did. He was playing off of what my responses were, as saying that they were somehow inferior to the conclusions that he had, because in his mind, it was the revelation from God that gave him the answers that he held.
The problem that is true for so many conversations we have with Latter-day Saints is the terminology. We have the same terminology. We have difference in what we mean. And when it comes to the title of this, The Essential Role of Revelation, Bill, you and I would both say revelation is huge when it comes to Christianity. We have what's called general revelation, which is the glory of God is revealed through all the things that are created. We have a general idea. Everybody is able to see that. But we also have special revelation, and that's the Bible that's given to us through God's Word. But when he says in the subheading, revelation is an essential factor in knowing the things of God, they cannot be learned solely by study and reason, we also would agree with that on face value, because we are not rationalists. We don't believe in rationalism, which says that you can only understand God as much as your mind can understand. And when it comes to miracles and things that are outside the box, you reject it. We don't believe that at all. But we do believe that study and reason and God's word, which is a book, will take us to the place where we will be able to have revelation to be able to receive, because we can't prove everything empirically. There are a lot of mysteries, but we certainly have lots of information to take us to a place where we can say we have revelation to know that the Bible is true, that God exists, and that He has a special plan for our lives.
I think what came to my mind as I went through this article, and it kept coming up over and over as I was reading some of the arguments that Mr. Vinson was making in this piece, is that we are not denying revelation, but the problem that we have is when a Latter-day Saint claims that something is revealed to them from God, and what they claim was revealed from God conflicts with what God has already revealed, which would be, as you said, special revelation. It is difficult for us as New Testament Christians to buy into a lot of the arguments that Latter-day Saints raise, because they do contradict what God has already revealed. The only way you can explain that to us would be either that God doesn't know He's contradicting Himself, or perhaps the information that we have in the New Testament that we are placing our emphasis on is somehow incorrect. Now, sometimes the Mormon will go in that direction, and they will use that argument that the Bible is only supposed to be believed as far as it is translated correctly. Now, that's an easy argument that we can dissect, and it's an easy one, I think, to respond to. Whether the Mormon wants to accept our response to what I think is a bad argument, that's totally up to them. Many of them will. I've had many a moment where I've been in a conversation with a Latter-day Saint, and it doesn't matter what I say, it doesn't matter what evidences I support my argument with, they still want to believe that Mormonism is true. And folks, there are times when I've just had to just politely grab them by the shoulders, look them in the eye, and say, look, if you want to be a Mormon, be a Mormon. I'm not here for you. I cannot reasonably deal with an individual like that. Their mind is already made up. They don't care what the evidence has to say, and I'm willing to accept that. Maturity has taught me it's time to move on. But I think Mr. Vinson makes a lot of statements that, in my mind, are even sometimes contradictory. And that's why we felt it important to go through some of the arguments that he's going to raise, because many Latter-day Saints tend to push aside a lot of what we would consider to be good evidence to show Mormonism to be false, and instead hold on to this revelation, quote unquote, that they feel is from the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. That's the question, folks. Is it really from the Holy Spirit? They blame the Holy Spirit. I'll use that word purposely. I've done that in the past, but that's exactly what they've done. They blame the Holy Spirit for believing something they think is true when the Holy Spirit would have never vouched for what they claim to believe.
Bill, this article is found in the August 2019 Ensign magazine. Its title is The Essential Role of Revelation, and it's written by Elder Terrence M. Vinson of the Presidency of the 70. If you'd like to see this article, you can go online and go onto their website. They have it there if you just type in The Essential Role of Revelation. But we're going to go through a lot of this article, starting on page 47, and it says this: The Lord's admonition to us with respect to learning is clear. He tells us, quote, "And as all have not faith, seek ye diligently and teach one another words of wisdom. Yea, seek ye out of the best books words of wisdom. Seek learning even by study and also by faith," end quote. And that comes from Doctrine and Covenants 88:118. And then it goes on and says, "The Lord is saying that both knowledge and wisdom are necessary. As stated simply in the words of this proverb from Guinea, West Africa, quote, knowledge without wisdom is like water in the sand," end quote.
Now, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about knowledge. It has a lot to say about wisdom. And we've talked about it many times on this show, that it's one thing to have a knowledge of something, but is what you know really wise? Are you using that knowledge properly? And that reminds me of a statement by Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon was the pastor of the Metropolitan Baptist Church in London, England, during the 19th century. He lived from 1834 to 1892, but he had this to say, which I think is very profound. He said, "To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the more fools for what they know. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool, but to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom." And we've said this many times, that wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. So certainly to a point, I could agree with what Doctrine and Covenants 88:118 says. Certainly, we want to have wisdom. We want to utilize wisdom based on what we know. And how do we come to do this? Well, it says in there, "Seek ye out the best books, words of wisdom." Now, there comes the controversy. What do they think is one of the best books, as opposed to what I might think are some of the best books? I'm sure our list will probably be different. They would probably, a Latter-day Saint, would probably list books written by their prophets. They would say, those are the best books. Why?
Why not just go to the main book that we hear quoted all the time, the Book of Mormon, or any of the standard works? I mean, that's a book, and that has words of wisdom. And in fact, if you go to the very last chapter in the Book of Mormon, Moroni chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it talks about how you can pray to receive this revelation. So certainly that's a book that they would say is a trustworthy book.
And that's the point. They would say that. Now, why wouldn't we say this? Well, I think it's because we're trying to take the knowledge that we have of the Book of Mormon and bring it to fruition in wisdom. And when we look at the claims made in the Book of Mormon, we don't think it's wise to believe a lot of what the Book of Mormon says. Now, some of the stuff it teaches, I think, is rather benign. I think a lot of it is probably true only because it steals a lot of precepts from our Bible. So, of course, I would go along with that. Now, just because I might agree with some statements in the Book of Mormon doesn't mean that I think the whole Book of Mormon is a work from God. There are a lot of books that cite the Bible, but I would never go so far as to say just because it cites the Bible that that means that this is a work from God, any more than I can take the Book of Mormon and assume that it's some kind of an ancient scripture merely because Joseph Smith said it was. I have to go beyond those mere words, and I have to test them and see if the claims being made for it are actually true.
And it's interesting because Joseph Smith said that the Book of Mormon is the most correct book on earth, and a man could get near to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book. And yet, we've talked about this a lot on this show, Bill, that so much of the Book of Mormon does not coincide with current Mormonism. Many things were changed over the next 15 years of Joseph Smith's ministry, and including the idea of who God was. I mean, that's a major idea that the Book of Mormon seems to contradict. So how do you read into the words of the Book of Mormon? Certainly, if there were such people as Nephites and Lamanites, they wouldn't have understood the way that Mormons have to interpret those words today.
But yet, how many times do we hear Mormons echoing what Joseph Smith claimed? And I think that was in 1841 when he made that statement. But yet, if all you had was the Book of Mormon, I've asked Mormons this. I remember having a conversation with one in particular. I said, if all I had was the Book of Mormon to go by, would I end up in the celestial kingdom if I followed it to the letter? He said, absolutely. And I said, that's really interesting, because if all I had was the Book of Mormon, I wouldn't even know there was a celestial kingdom to shoot for.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.